Hey, everybody. I'm Lisa Burwell, your host of V-Speaks Conversations with Heart and Soul. We are in season three. Today is the last day. We have one more podcast after this. I've been looking forward to this podcast interview that we're going to be having in a minute with Misty Perenzin, who is an author, a mom of nine children. And when you see her, you will not believe that she's a mom of nine children. She's beautiful in every way. She is a singer. And she has more books in her as well. But her debut book is called He Was Always There. It's an inspirational book about her journey. Many different curves and turns in the journey of life that led her to where she is today. And Misty, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here.
Thank you. I'm honored to have you. I am not overstating that this book stopped me dead in my tracks. And I know through, I think, on your Facebook page that you have many wonderful reviews. It's only been out for three months.
April.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you're doing really well with your reviews on Amazon.
I've been very surprised. So.
Yeah, I read some of them after I read that on Facebook, and a lot of the people are saying the exact same things that I felt as well. The level of transparency and candidness in this book is literally something that when I tell people about it, I say that, and I really can't speak to the level that it leveled me. And I'm thinking, like, how does she do that? Where did it come from? I love God. I've had a walk with God for most of my life, you know, in my early 20s. And I think I walk the walk, and I try to walk the walk, but I am not as transparent as you. I just do not understand it. Like, help me understand this beautiful, open heart that you have. And shame is something that everybody feels at one point in time in their life. Nobody escapes it. Nobody. And sometimes we have shame when we shouldn't even have shame. It's just that the world, like, wants us to buy shame all the time and feel bad about ourselves.
Yes.
And put us in situations that are basically sabotaging us. But you have figured out, like, this antidote to conquering that. That is one of the most inspirational takeaways about the book. And I'm like, I want to be like this person.
Wow. Well, authenticity, I believe, is the most important thing. I lived almost 30 years of my life not being authentic. I lived fake. Nobody knew the real me. I had me hidden. And I believed all the lies that were whispering in my head, because when you're silent or when you hide things, all those whispers become truth, right? He can say, they're not going to like you if they know you. Yeah. If they knew that, then they wouldn't hang out with you.
Right.
But nobody knows the truth because they keep living that. How was your day? It was great. Actually, they just got done fighting at their house and had a, you know, with their husband. They're not great. And the next minute, they're getting a divorce. Mm-hmm. And so for me, what the Lord did for me when I came out about my addiction, he showed me that all those things I said were lies. And what I learned is every time I spoke truth, every time I told something that I used to lie about, the response was never what I expected. I was given more love, and I felt good, and weights were lifted, like, just off my shoulder every day. It was just so much to where my husband was like, how many more things are you going to tell me? Do you have anything else in there? And I'd be like, I'm almost done, because it just felt so good. And so I am passionate about telling people authenticity is the key, mm-hmm. but it's so hard in this world that we live in today.
And the other part about it, too, that I have to commend, your marriage to Matt, from the outside looking in, obviously, mm-hmm. and then you can attest to this because mm-hmm. you write about it, looks like one of the most beautiful love stories I've ever seen. It's like a real romance novel, and you have nine kids with your youngest, who is 7 years old. And you can tell that it's so real, and you're passionate, and you're honest. And then, you know, we're all judged, right? Like, we don't want to be judged. Sometimes mm-hmm. we're falsely judged or accused,
right.
or sometimes, you know, whatever. We're owning something that probably we shouldn't be doing. But the how Matt, like, just, like, he's good with it. Like, I'm trying to think, like, if I wrote a book like this, like, I wonder, like, you know, like, you have to have the kids buy in, the husband buy in, because it's a story that affects a lot of other people rather than you. I mean, in addition to you. And I think I read in the book, or did I read something on your social recently, that you already, you know, shared with your kids and you wanted it. You just seem like you have it more together than most humans on the planet.
Well, with my kids, I'm on a second round, right? We call a family, we have our second family. We've been parents for 27 years, screwed up big time that first decade. Like did everything all wrong. And so I feel like we have a different perspective because having kids for 20 years, right, it gives you that next generation. We have one child that got to experience both families, and she can speak from that where, mom, life was different in our first family. And so we did all the things that most people do today, right? And so we've already done that, and we're doing it differently now. It's kind of like an experiment. And it's
rebirth,
been,
right?
It's take two. It really is. Rebirth. And we're like, it's not the norm, some of the things that we do, or the just the it's not the norm, but we feel like, well, we already did what you're doing that you think is going to work. And it didn't work for me. And so my husband is my biggest cheerleader. I mean, he was with me in this book and pushed me the whole way and was by my side, encouraging me. You know, he has been my biggest cheerleader.
It's so beautiful. I mean, it really, really is. So let's give some context for the listeners that, you know, the genesis of, you know, where you were when you were a child, and if I'm paraphrasing this correctly in the book, if not, please correct me, where you never felt really totally comfortable, you were an only child, and then you realized through some happenstance that in your early 20s that you had found out you were adopted.
Yes. So, yes, I grew up as an only child. I ruled and reigned my home. I had the master bedroom. I was a spoiled brat. And I did not know the Lord. I knew of people, you know, I knew of God, but that just wasn't in my home. So I kind of grew up without direction and no boundaries and just that child. And so, but I also was smart, had a good head on my shoulders. And in my high school years, I was raped a couple times, so that kind of knocked me off, but kept going. And then at 20, I was married for just about a year. I had a six-month-old, and my parents decided to come tell me that I was adopted. And it really rocked my world, although it was a question my whole upbringing. People would say, "Are you adopted?" They would ask me. They would make jokes. My parents would always say no. And so when they finally told me, it was kind of like throwing a manila envelope at me and just like, well, we never planned on telling you, but so-and-so did a genealogy book and you're going to find out. So we figured you should know. And it was just, that was a really, it was a hard hit because it just, it was, everything just kind of came falling down. And so I did, I met my birth parents. It was easy to find. And just because it was a private adoption. So I kind of made a few calls and I immediately met them. And which was great to meet my birth mom, who I looked just alike, but she was 16 years older than me. And she was still struggling with just addiction and alcohol and all of those things. But it all made sense then, right? I was like, oh, this is where I had some issues, because I'd had issues before I got married this first time. And that marriage was not the marriage I'm currently in. I was married and divorced. But and so that just kind of, that just set the next few years. I fell back into my own addiction and then pregnant with baby number two and stopped. And, you know, I being addicted to meth for 10 years on and off between pregnancies, it's crazy to think that was my life.
Well, what's crazy to think about it, in addition to, well, everything, but you're the pillar of, you're beautiful. You're in amazing shape. And I remember asking you in church, we go to the same church. And I remember asking you several months ago, I go, "Do you work out?" And you go, "Of course I work out. How do you think I can look like this?" And you are hardcore in your gym and home, right? And you have to work out, like, because you are like in flawless shape. and with 9 kids. And then your voice is amazing. You know, when you sing in church, I've never heard a voice like that. I've never read a book like this. Like, you're really, really different. Mm. And it's so refreshing because, you know, not only does the outside world need to see something that's refreshing and new, but so does the church. And the church really needs to understand, like, that this is actually, like, really how to walk, you know? Mm. And so I think your book speaks to both secular and non-secular alike, and I'd say 50-50. I'm in marketing, and I mm-hmm. can read things, and I understand, like, what's hitting me, uh-huh. and I'm intuitive. So what I'm trying to say by that is 99% of the time, if something is hitting me a certain way, I know, because I'm like everybody else, right? It's right. hitting them the same way,
right?
Right, because we're all humans. We're all so much more alike than people probably understand mm-hmm. that we all are much more similar than different.
Yes.
So, yeah, I just couldn't put it down. And, you know, I was just enthralled and amazed by it. And I know that this is the beginning. So in the book, you speak about how you never thought you had a book in you, but people were telling you mm-hmm. several years before. And you tried to write, but you only could write how many words? You could only get X amount of words in the paper.
Yeah. I mean, I would get up every morning at 5 and write for an hour, and I was getting nowhere. And so in 9 months, I wrote 3 chapters. It was like 5,000 words, right. Just if that. It was disgusting. And I'm like, what? This is a joke. I really don't think I'm supposed to write this book. I mean, if the Lord said so, okay. But I was ready to quit. And I was like, if I need to lay it down another 7 years, 10 years, whatever, I don't have time. My kids are still running around, and I can't deliver something that's not great.
Yeah.
And this isn't feeling great. And right. so yeah, it was, I just wasn't working. And so at that moment, I'm wanting to stop, you know, 9 months in, it's September, and I go to church one Sunday. And this lovely woman that she always says the right words to me. She just always comes over and says, God told me. And I'm always like, oh, boy. And that morning, after my husband had prayed 2 nights before that, like, Lord, if she's supposed to continue this project, make it known. I wanted the neon sign, the flashing lights. I yeah. wanted all of it, because I don't want to do it if it's not his will.
Right.
I wasn't trying to be somebody. And
right.
so
right.
I just finished rehearsing for worship. And she goes, Misty, hey, girl, you know, I was praying for you this morning, and the Lord told me to tell you, you just need to get on it. And I'm like, no, he didn't. I was just like, okay. And she said, and figured you'd want to know what he was thinking you need to get on. And so that, you know, a few months ago you shared, and I asked if you ever thought of writing a book or something. And I'm like, yeah. She goes, that's it. That's what he wants you to get on. Yeah. And I'm just like, overcome with emotion. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I gotta go worship. Like, mm-hmm. She's like, I'm sorry. I'm just like, it's not you. You're right. fine. You're fine. I'll tell right. you later. So right. then I, of course, texted her after and told her. And so that afternoon, I booked a condo in PCB, not mm-hmm. far from here, mm-hmm. for 4 days. And I told people, finally, because I hadn't even told my kids, my okay. older adult, nobody, okay. because I didn't want to say I was doing something that wasn't going to happen. That's right. just how I am. Mm-hmm. So I was like, finally, told people I booked this condo, I'm going to go write. And I could never be, you're going to write? What are you going to write? Oh, just my story. You're writing a book? Ah, mm-hmm. yes. Pray for me. Yeah. Pray that the Lord shows up. And right. so I did that, and I went.
And then?
And when I left, I called my friend who I knew was praying for me. And I was just like, hey, I just wrote 40,000 words, and I can't believe it. Like, I 10 chapters. And she says, I really can't wait to read it. And I'm like...
And was that it? Like, had you finished it?
So that was pretty much... I had all of the bones mm-hmm. and quite a bit of stuff. And mm-hmm. so for that next month, I spent the evenings and mornings filling in, like, the meat.
Okay.
But, yeah. but not really... I mean, you know, Jane Hammond, she was yeah. my mentor yeah. during the whole thing. And so she would encourage me and read my stuff and...
She's amazing.
Amazing.
Amazing. I mean, such a
she's
half to
she's a big read, because I would have quit. I would have quit without even having Matt pray mm-hmm. because I'd be like, we don't need to do this. But I could not let her down, right?
Right.
So she's
right.
like, when you got to give me something, give me something. And so I do tell her that she She is. She was such a huge help. Yeah. And so, but I never, before my friend said that, I didn't write it. That whole 4 days, I never once thought of people reading it, mm-hmm. which is so good. Mm-hmm. Because all she had told me to do was pretend I'm telling my friend a story. Mm-hmm. And that's all I was supposed to think about. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking of like one person,
right?
Not all my people. Mm-hmm. And my husband didn't even know a lot of, he had to read it for the, he learned things the first time he read. So we had to process that a little bit.
Right.
And, you know.
But so beautiful that you can,
that you could.
That you can do that.
Yes.
I mean, that is just testament
to
so many different things. Courage, faith.
And it
love.
Changed my perspective mm-hmm. of the old me. Mm-hmm. I used to look at the old me and be like, what an idiot. What was I doing? What was wrong with me? Mm-hmm. And it just gave me compassion for that Misty, that lost girl mm-hmm. who mm-hmm. was trying to find my way mm-hmm. on my own, mm-hmm. the way I saw fit, which was...
Right.
You know.
But then, not to belabor too many things except the good happy ending part, and that is like when you were released from your addiction, you mm-hmm. didn't go to rehab. Mm-mm. You didn't need to fail many times of attempting to. You were just immediately able to be cured of being addicted.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I had tried over my years, right, to stop. Yeah. And whenever I would get pregnant, I could stop mm-hmm. because it wasn't about me and I could sleep and gain weight and nobody would question why I was sleeping or gaining weight, right. which is really dumb. But right. for some reason, I could do that. But if I didn't have a baby, I couldn't stop. And so I had an experience or an encounter with the Lord in April of 06. And I was at the beach with a friend, and she wasn't really, it was supposed to be like a lot of girls at the beach, but it was just her that showed up, which was interesting because I didn't do one-on-one things at that time. And so when nobody showed up, we're just kind of chatting, and this is a girl who has the Bible at the beach, you know, and I always loved women who loved Jesus and had their Bible. I just thought that I could never, that wasn't for me. And so we just kind of start talking and getting to know each other because we don't know each other very well. And so she's talking about college, and I'm asking her how long she's walked with the Lord. And she starts telling me things she did in college and that she still knew the Lord then, but she was doing these things. And so for me, it was kind of like, oh, you did those things, but you still know God. You know, it was just kind of spiking. But then she kind of asked me, you know, well, when's the last time you've ever done drugs? Or did you do drugs in college? And I didn't go to college. I was a mom. When I tried to answer her, it was a moment of nothing. I could not speak. I was speechless. I had zero. I mean, I'm trying to say something. And finally, when I start moving my mouth, what I said was, well, I did the last of what I had this morning. And I remember being mortified because I was like, why did I say that? Mm-hmm. What? And she's like, what? You did what? And I'm like, save yourself. Like, diet pills, weed, anything that could be, you know, construed as something different, right? And I finally just said, well, I've been doing meth for the last 18 months, and I've tried to stop, but it's okay. I only do a little bit each morning, and it's not a big deal. I have it under control. And and she's like staring at me open mouth, you know, just, and so... She asked if she could pray for me, and I was really wanting to get up because this girl was friends with all the other moms, and I'm thinking my life is over. I've never in my life admitted, at this point, ever admitted I had an addiction. Mm-hmm. Even if Matt found it, even if he saw that it's not mine, right. I don't know whose it is. Right. I never did. Well, maybe I did it one time, but no, you know, those were always my. And so to say this out loud to her, there's really no way out, so I was just... I don't really know what I was going to do. So that week, you know, my week of deliverance is like Holy Week. And every day had a very significant thing. And I share about all of that in my book because it can be a long story to share, but it's so amazing. But the day that the Lord got me was on the fourth day, and or Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Yeah, so it was on... Thursday that morning, I was driving to my friend's house, and I was kind of thinking, I've went all 3 days without this stuff, and I kind of get weird on the third or fourth day and get a little scared, but that night I was supposed to tell my husband. That was the deal, because mm-hmm. if I didn't tell him that night, mm-hmm. we'd kind of been praying and doing devotions all week, and mm-hmm. she'd been pouring into me. Mm-hmm. And I just had a weak moment on the way to her house and thought of a Misty plan, like usual. And I'd be like, all right, I can just call my dealer, and I could get some. I could just do it every 4 days, and then slowly go every 5, and this is going to work. At least I won't be doing it every day. And I had this whole thing worked out. And so I try to call my dealer as I'm driving to her house. Like, it's horrible to even say. Yeah. But I had 3 failed attempts, and they weren't the same failed attempt. You know, they had the beep, the and the static, and the this number is no longer. And it was just a strange thing driving down Kelly Plantation Boulevard all the way around as this is happening. And I pull into her driveway, and I'm overcome with emotion mm-hmm. at that moment mm-hmm. because I realize what I did, first of all. I realized that I totally gave in, was weak. And she comes out, and I'm just like crying, and she's thinking something's wrong. And then I ask her if God has the power to interrupt the phone lines. And I just remember she kind of looked at me and looked at my phone, and and then she laughed, and she was like, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it was like, it was that moment, though, that something broke. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, oh, my gosh, mm-hmm. God is real.
Real. Mm-hmm.
And he is in this, mm-hmm. and he just stopped me mm-hmm. from getting drugs. Mm-hmm. And so it gave me this new, it was broke. It just... So that night when I did go we went to dinner and my friends watched the kids, and they've never watched the kids overnight ever. And so Matt was like, something's up, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And, going to the beach, we'd gone to the beach many times and had packs of, I wasn't going to do drugs, mm-hmm. but I would always just find a way. So this time I was just like, I have something I need to tell you, mm-hmm. and we might need counseling if you still want to be with me, you know. And so I finally just say, I've been doing meth for the last 18 months, and every time you've ever found it, it was mine. And every time you thought I was doing it, I was. And every time you asked me or anything that you thought I was lying, I was. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And he kind of like, whew, like, you know, exhaled. And I was just like, what is wrong with you? Did you hear what I said? You know, like, why are you exhaling? And turns out he thought I was going to tell him I met with somebody else, or I met a different guy, or yeah. I cheated on him or something.
Right. So that was like that wasn't that bad.
No, it wasn't that bad. It worked. And, but then in all seriousness, then he grabbed my hands and he's like, you know, I think we do need a counselor. And I heard this Jesus was a pretty good one. And this was a big deal, because when we got married, yeah. both of us were like, how do you think about Jesus and God? How do you think? We were like, good. We don't need him. We're
right.
good.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so for him to say this, yeah. I was just like, you want to try Jesus? He's like, I've heard it might work. It might be what we need. And so got on our knees and we prayed the best like salvation prayer that, you know, Jesus come into our hearts.
Was.
We didn't really. But then we went home and we experienced like a level of intimacy. We'd been married a couple years at this point. Mm-hmm. And a level of intimacy I'd never, ever experienced. Mm-hmm. So it was like true intimacy. Yeah. And I learned that night what redemption was.
Yeah.
And the next day we got out calendars and we're like, my friends are going to sign up to yeah. help take kids and do everything. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that weeks passed and I never needed it. I just woke up every day. Not I gained me. 20 pounds in a very short time, which was not very what I wanted, but... I probably needed to anyway. I was really
I'm
tiny.
Sure.
I was really small.
You still are really small.
So I gained weight, but we went and bought a dog, a minivan, changed houses. Our whole life just,
it's an unbelievable
everything.
Story. So, it's literally yes. like movie-like in that it's unreal. You know, I mean.
If I wasn't part of it,
yeah.
I would not believe the stuff that happened.
Right.
And that's a lot of things in my story. If I didn't experience right. them, I'd look at somebody and be like, yeah, you're exaggerating a bit.
Right.
But no, it's, right. it is.
But it's, the part about it that is so powerful is how you can share the whole thing. Okay. Because, and this is what I have, the one takeaway about why don't more people do it? Mm-hmm. It's because they do not want to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And that would take courage, and it would also take immense humility.
Yeah.
And even when you're going to church, and I'll speak for myself, like, I'm like, I consider myself humble, but no one can really know if you are or not, because you can't judge your own heart, you know, so who do you really know that you are? Because you can't judge yourself,
you know? That's
right. But the level of humility to just share and be an open book to the world doesn't function like that.
I know.
And it's really sad that it doesn't function like that, but it also doesn't really function like that in a lot of churches too, you know?
Right.
So I think that it's so powerful. It's so unbelievable. And that, you know, you have like the real deal. Like imagine if like it wasn't real, and imagine if you didn't have this beautiful relationship and all that, and it had fallen away, like that would be devastating.
Yes.
You know, it would be devastating to you and your family, but it also would be so devastating to the story that does exist, which is redemption, which is new life, which is, you know, things can change and you can have a new life and a new day, and that the world needs to hear that. Like everybody needs to know that whatever you're dealing with, you don't have to be stuck in it forever. Things can change.
Right.
You know? So that's what I feel like. But I've read so many different books before, especially like a lot of Christian books too. But I'm like, well, no one really gives you the, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people give you the good and they might like sort of make up some ugly things that aren't even as ugly as maybe they were.
Yes.
But people really do need to hear the good, the bad,
and
the ugly.
And the ugly.
To understand like what grace is, what salvation is, what a clean slate is, what complete new beginnings are, to move on and upward. And then fall in love. You know, I mean, how can you not fall in love with God when he saves you, you know, over and over? I've been saved
and
like a million times.
And constantly blesses us, our kids and our family. And we never, it's just not anything we ever dreamed. I didn't dream my life to be what it is today. I didn't even dream this big.
Mm-hmm.
I really didn't. I had smaller dreams. I mean, I wanted the romantic marriage, right? Mm-hmm. I always wanted that. Mm-hmm. And people always said, "Oh, you can't have that. That's in the movies." And, well, I have it.
I have
that marriage.
You really do. What about singing? So I didn't know you sang until I saw you up there like one day. I don't know, maybe a year ago, and I'm like, "Huh." That is so beautiful. Whose voice is that? And then I'm looking and it's you. And then, you know, another time and another. It's amazing. So when did you sing like in your background?
So the interesting part was I loved singing as a kid. Mm-hmm. And then I did karaoke bars for a long time during my 20s.
So that's where
Matt and I would go to the bar and I would always do karaoke and we would win our drinks. And that would just be.
You would be good at it.
Yes.
Okay.
I would be good at it. But it was karaoke bar. And so then when I started going to Destiny Worship Center 20 or 17 years ago. One of the things I did was join the choir. So we started, I got saved in April.
Yeah.
The first Tuesday in May, I went to choir rehearsal. And I thought, I'm just going to do this. I'm going to jump in. And so I was in the choir for a little bit. And about 6 months in the worship leader was a friend of mine. And one of the lead worshipers got sick on a Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I always stood in the back row of the choir. I liked the back. I didn't like anybody singing my ear, and I didn't want to be seen out front, right? So that was my, and my friend comes up and she's like, "You down here, mic up front." And I was like, "No, I'm not going down there." She's like, "Oh, you're coming down here right now." And there was no, it was like church was going on. That's it. So I'm getting down there. That whole time, my mouth was watering. Mm-hmm. My heart was beating. I was having panic attacks the whole time. And the thing was, is the girl that was sick, she had polyps. She never came back. And I took that spot. That was how I got there. And I learned, I grew tremendously because I grew from wanting to be in the back, hidden, you know, to learning to be in front and being confident and or faking it really well.
How many years was that you were doing that?
I did it for 7 years at Destiny.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
So that's why.
Yeah, and then I went to Coastline and the next church, and I did it there as well. And so then coming to Vision, it was, I'm going to join the worship team. And so that's...
Yeah. It's absolutely. Most beautiful voice. So... Because the ethos of the podcast, the spirit of this podcast, is supposed to be real conversations, real life, and basically giving, you know, anything that the guests can in their respective fields or whatever they've walked through in their life, like tips, words of wisdom, some inspirational wisdom that you might be able to give to somebody who might be watching or listening to this, where they too can actually like, for 1 second, believe that things can change for the better.
Well, I believe that no one is ever too far gone for the Lord to work. I believe that the things that we're doing, the enemy is going to be in your ear speaking, right? Mm-hmm. God has a plan, and the enemy has a plan also. And they're both vying in your head for which plan you're going to take. And so just in my experience, all the things I've ever done, and the Lord still came in and delivered me from an addiction I wasn't even asking to be delivered. My husband and I were not walking with the Lord. Mm-hmm. We didn't have Bibles in our home. Mm-hmm. We didn't do any of that. And he came in and did this amazing thing and changed the trajectory of our lives. Mm-hmm. And so that lie that we believe that we have to don't let people in, mm-hmm. don't let them really know about our marriage. If your marriage has issues, or talk to people. Mm-hmm. Don't wait for it to be so bad.
Yeah, don't hide it.
Don't come back and say, oh, well, mm-hmm. we're getting separated. You are. Well, you haven't known. It's been going on for a long time.
Right.
Same with your kids.
Yeah.
It's hard. Parenting is hard, right? Our kids can get us off.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do the things that we parent them in a way. And then we get the voices that we're being a horrible parent.
Mm-hmm.
And then we feel like we've got to separate from God. Like, I'm just, there are so many voices, and that's my biggest thing. You're going to have the enemy, and you're going to have God.
Mm-hmm.
Figure out the right voice mm-hmm. and follow it,
mm-hmm.
you know?
If it, to me, like what I see in my head, like the visual is like God just reached down and just like plucked you up.
He did.
Just plucked you right up. And
that's what
just
I said.
Like,
he picked our family up mm-hmm. and like moved, just went mm-hmm. and just dropped us mm-hmm. in a completely different. I know people change over the years, but when I look at our transformation,
mm-hmm.
we are different in every way, just
mm-hmm.
everywhere. And yeah. I love that we've grown differently. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, growing in the Lord is probably my favorite thing that's happened in the last 15 years.
Well, even you coming to church, because I've been going there for like 30 years, and I love our church, you know, I really, really do. Mm-hmm. And it means everything to me, and it's my, you know, rock
yes.
and keeps me, you know, steady. But when you and Matt came to the church too, it was like a zap of life, a zap of there's something different with that family.
Oh.
And so much enthusiasm and raw enthusiasm for God and for worshiping and love, you know? And I thought I had all those things and I did, but like not to the degree that I was looking at you and I'm like, that's amazing. Anyway, it's a big inspiration to me.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, thank you for sharing your story with
yes.
us. And anyone and everyone, please get this book that Misty wrote that is, it's unlike any other book. And many, many people feel the same way. And he was always there. How a Girl's Life Clouded by Trauma, Addiction, and Abuse Was Restored by God's Love. And I just love what you did, and I'm, like, unbelievably impressed with you.
Thank you so much.
You're
Lisa.
Welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Have a good day, everybody.